Hello and welcome to the 21cc podcast, brought to you by the Chartered Institute of Building. I'm Nadine Badu, editor of CM People.
And I'm Justin Stanton, editor of CM Digital.
March is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, so today we're focusing on men's health and the importance of detecting prostate cancer early. Unfortunately, it's an issue that doesn't always get talked about enough in our industry.
Yes, and it's one of those topics that can feel a bit uncomfortable. But the reality is, it affects a huge number of men across the UK, including men in the construction industry. Prostate cancer is actually the most commonly diagnosed cancer in the UK. Every year, more than 64,000 men are diagnosed.
And sadly, more than 12,000 men die from it each year, which is a huge number, especially when you consider that if it's caught early, it's often treatable.
Let's be honest, construction is pretty good at talking about safety. We'll do a toolbox talk about working at height or PPE without thinking twice. But when it comes to our own health, that conversation can be a bit more difficult.
Which is exactly why we're doing this episode. Construction is still a male-dominated industry, and it's something that really affects our workforce, our teams, our peers.
Preparing for this podcast reminded me that I hadn't had a prostate check since I turned 50 a few years ago. So I contacted my doctors and got the PSA blood test sorted. It was just a quick extraction of blood, no cup of tea and biscuit afterwards, and I was in and out of the surgery in minutes. I didn't have to fret about having the digital rectal exam that I had a few years before. The results came back very quickly and were at the lower end of normal. The Prostate Cancer UK website sets out some useful advice about what to avoid before the PSA blood test, which is worth reading. My doctors didn't mention this advice. For example, Prostate Cancer UK says you should avoid vigorous exercise for 48 hours before the PSA test. Thankfully, I didn't run or cycle to the test. It's important that we normalise the conversation around prostate cancer. And ultimately, it's about looking after ourselves the same way we're expected to look after each other on site.
Absolutely, you're right. So to continue that conversation around men's health and prostate cancer, joining the podcast today is Nick Molyneux, Senior MEP Manager at MACE, who will be sharing his experience of being diagnosed with the disease and why early detection is so important. Also joining the discussion is Meg Burgess, a specialist nurse from Prostate Cancer UK. Meg has more than 35 years of nursing experience and has worked with Prostate Cancer UK since 2007.
So wherever you're listening today, we're glad you're with us because this is an important conversation for our industry. And it might be more relevant to you or someone you know than you realise.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Meg. Thank you both for joining the podcast today.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Hi, yes. Thank you.
So, Nick, can you start by telling us what led you to go for a prostate cancer check?
Well, I didn't actually have any sort of symptoms to sort of or anything to indicate that I should go and have a prostate cancer test. I mean, I'm lucky at work that we have private healthcare, and I was offered that at one of my healthcare's, my yearly sort of MOT that we have, and they suggested, being at an age, I was 51 at the time, have a PSA blood test, and I'll send that off, to check that out. Didn't think nothing of it. It came back as elevated, so I got a phone call from the healthcare provider to say, look, your levels are a bit elevated, might not be nothing, but we do suggest you take this up further. And obviously I went back to my doctor with this information. So I said, look, it's come back, it's a bit elevated. So they put me in for another blood test. I had another PSA test. And that's where it was still elevated and higher. From that, my doctor put me forward for an MRI scan to further see, what's to look at, if there's anything untoward going on. And from that, they said, well, it's not particularly clear. We can't tell, but we think we need to do a biopsy just to be sure. We don't think it's cancer, but we just want to be sure. And I had a biopsy after that. And then from that, I was given the results that I had prostate cancer. Luckily, it was found early. It was low grade prostate cancer. It wasn't aggressive. So I was given two options, really. It was we could remove your prostate, or I could go on active surveillance. and I chose to go on active surveillance, which is because it's low grade, it's not aggressive, it's probably in its very, very early stages. I can be monitored, just have regular blood tests and MRI screening just to keep an eye on things. At the moment, it's contained within the prostate, hasn't broken out of the prostate, and yeah, they'll just keep an eye on it for now. When they do find that it's come to a level that maybe, you know, it's started to go a bit further on, then they can do something about it. But I was lucky it was caught really early.
And so, Meg, in really simple terms, what is prostate cancer and who is most at risk?
Okay, well, it might be best to start with what's the prostate, because actually a lot of men don't know what their prostate, where their prostate is or what it does. So if we take that as a starting point, the prostate gland is part of the male reproductive system. It's a small gland. It's about the size and the shape of a walnut, and it sits underneath the bladder and it surrounds the water pipe. And its job is to make some of the fluid in semen. And cancer of the prostate, well, like any cancer really, it's when a cell goes wrong and a tumour can develop. Risk factors for prostate cancer, well, there are three main risk factors to be aware of. One is age, one is family history, and the other is your ethnicity. Prostate cancer incidence tends to increase over the age of 50. You also have an increased risk if you've had a father or brother diagnosed. You're 2.5 times more likely to be diagnosed if you have that family history. And if you have black ethnicity, your risk is higher. Prostate cancer is now the most common cancer in the UK, diagnosed in the UK. And a man's risk of developing prostate cancer is 1 in 8 men will develop it. But actually, if you're a black man, your risk is double that. Your risk is 1 in 4 if you're a black man. So the most common cancer, and why it's really important to know your risk.
And so from your experience, how common is it for prostate cancer to be picked up through routine checks as opposed to being through the person having symptoms?
Yeah, well, like Nick said, he didn't have any symptoms. And it's really important to know that most men with early prostate cancer won't have any symptoms at all. It might be symptoms, and it tends to be urinary symptoms. So men might go to the doctor with some urinary symptoms and subsequently be diagnosed with an early prostate cancer. But it was probably benign changes in the prostate that caused the symptoms. So early prostate cancer doesn't cause symptoms. A more advanced prostate cancer might cause symptoms. So you can't rely on symptoms or waiting for symptoms to find an early prostate cancer. And as Nick says, there's testing available for men without any symptoms.
So, Nick, when you first got that diagnosis, what was your reaction? And at the time, what did you understand about prostate cancer?
So when I was first diagnosed, I probably kind of with a PSA test, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got prostate cancer. There can be other factors that can elevate your PSA levels. But there was probably that chance there it may not have been prostate cancer. So I was concerned, but not overly worried. I think the concern more came, and the worry came, was when I actually got my diagnosis. You know, you automatically hear the word cancer, and you know, there's nothing good in the word cancer. You know, all you hear is doom and gloom, isn't it? You know, so yeah, you know, it's quite a bit of a worrying time, and you know, times to kind of get through and kind of had to kind of learn a lot about prostate cancer, you know, because you hear a lot about prostate cancer, but you don't really kind of understand the full nitty-gritty of it all kind of thing. You know, we see it in TV programs a lot now, you know, in soaps and things like that, people getting diagnosed with prostate cancer, and you kind of know it's kind of there and you know about it a little bit, but you don't know the full ins and outs. So yeah, there was a bit of a learning curve to fully understand it all. And you know, I work in construction, and I do a lot of talks to kind of raise that sort of awareness. And I talk about, you know, because a lot of men don't know about the prostate, what it does, where it is in the body, you know. I didn't really know fully about it all, and it's only by going through all this that I've kind of learned to sort of understand it a lot more. So I kind of tend to talk to a lot of other men about this as well, you know, and give them that kind of understanding. So they're empowered to know about it and know about the risks, and, you know, they can go off and do something about it and go and get checked. And like we keep saying, you know, in the early stages, there's no symptoms. I didn't have any symptoms at all. I was none the wiser. And probably if I didn't have that blood test, you know, by my private healthcare provider, I'd never know even now. I probably wouldn't be none the wiser. You know, I'd be living with it, didn't know what's going on. So it really is important to kind of get that test, those blood tests, you know, especially if you're that age where you're in that risk category, to get tested. Unfortunately, there's no screening program for prostate cancer, which is a shame, really. But, you know, it's time for men to take that empowerment to go and do something, take their health seriously, go out there, get checked. And, it could save a life, you know. Finding it early is key. That's the biggest thing you can do.
And just looking back at the diagnosis, how did it affect your work, your day-to-day life? And did you find it difficult to discuss any of this with your colleagues?
I'm quite lucky. We're quite close-knit amongst our sort of, you know, my work colleagues. We get on quite well. And I'm quite easy to talk with and quite open. And, you know, I know some men who do have prostate cancer or have had it and gone through it and are quite private about it. You know, a lot of men are quite private and don't really like talking about this sort of thing. It's quite a difficult sort of subject, you know, to talk about. I was fairly okay talking about it. And I found talking with my close colleagues about it, what I was going through, was a good help for me. You know, it was a good support network. They were quite understanding, and it was just good to kind of get it off my chest, you know, and talk to some you know, other people, and also talk to other men who've gone through it as well.
Absolutely. We know that construction can be male dominated and really high pressure workplaces, so yeah. To both of you, what can employers, including small businesses, do to help normalise those conversations around health and really encourage men to go and get checked?
I suppose the first thing, well, that part of it is, you know, we do sort of a lot of awareness presentations, going around and talking to these guys, you know, helping them understand it, making them hoping they can understand their risks, so that they can, you know, go to get that blood test, get checked out. You know, and take their health, put their health first. Unfortunately, in construction, you know, there's a lot of self-employed people who, you know, if they take time off work, they're not getting paid. So health kind of tends to go on the back burner a little bit. And until something's wrong, then they might go to the doctors. But, you know, as we're sort of getting older, you do need to kind of have those sort of checkups, you know, make sure everything's all right. Because a lot of times you might not have symptoms for, you know, especially if something like this, and finding it early is so key. You know, you have far greater options in front of you finding it early. To if you find it too late, then your options are very less, and that's what we don't want, you know. And perhaps there's more in our industry that we can do. Certainly maybe companies can do a lot more for these guys. You know, can we help them get these appointments? You know what it's like trying to phone a doctor for an appointment or things like that. You know, you're on the phone for hours on end on hold, or, you know, might not necessarily get through, and you end up giving up, and you just think, oh, and it just goes on the back burner, you know. So maybe there's more we can do for, you know, our workers in this industry to help them get checked out, you know.
And Meg, what are your views on how employers can help encourage people to go and get checked?
I agree with everything that Nick says. And I think to have role models talking about their own experience, there's nothing like hearing other men talking about their experience of health, whether it's mental health or physical health, and to be able to, especially having more senior people within organisations talking about their own experience, it normalises, gives permission. It's in everybody's interest to keep people healthy. It's in individuals' interests, and then it's in the company's interest to have somebody that's fit and healthy and able to work. So making sure that there's information information about resources, signposting, posters, knowing about other organisations where you can go in and get further information and support. So places like Prostate Cancer UK, and to really just, you know, make this part of how you're doing, being healthy and being well.
And Meg, what are some of the common misconceptions that you tend to hear from men who are diagnosed?
Yeah, so I think for men that are newly diagnosed, and Nick touched on this, there's a huge amount to process when you're diagnosed. It's very often a shock to receive a diagnosis, and you're given a lot of information to process, and there are often then decisions to be made as well. I think one of the common surprises is that it's not a death sentence. So, you know, in a situation like Nick's, where we find a very early low-grade prostate cancer, treatment isn't necessary. We can safely monitor a cancer that's not causing any problems and hold back treatments until or if they're necessary. And so one of those surprises really is that some prostate cancers can be so slow-growing, they never cause any harm. But by finding a cancer early, we can also find those aggressive prostate cancers that need treatment and are potentially life-threatening.
And what are some of the symptoms that men should be aware of? And I know you touched on this earlier. With that in mind, why is it always risky to wait for those symptoms before going to get checked?
Well, I always say, you know, don't focus on symptoms, focus on risk factors. Because if you're waiting for symptoms to develop, first of all, very often symptoms aren't, you know, it's often urinary symptoms. So men might notice that they're peeing more frequently, having to get up at night to pass urine. It may be that it's slow to start urinating. It might stop and start. And there might be a poor flow and a difficulty emptying the bladder. Those aren't always symptoms of prostate cancer. They can be symptoms of a benign change or enlargement of the prostate, as well as some other things. So if you've got any symptoms, you should be seeing your doctor to find out what it is. If you're waiting for symptoms for prostate cancer, you risk prostate cancer to developing, and those symptoms are due to a more advanced prostate cancer, which is more difficult to treat. So, you know, finding a prostate cancer early means that it's much easier to treat or to monitor in Nick's case.
And Nick, looking back, were there any signs that you ignored or didn't connect at the time?
I mean, no, I didn't have any signs. I don't have any prostate cancer in my family. Or maybe, you know, my father did have it, but he certainly didn't die of prostate cancer and he was never diagnosed of it. But didn't have any symptoms. And that's the biggest alert, really, is, you know, early stages, you won't know you've got it. You know, there's no symptoms. You know, like I say, if I hadn't have had that PSA blood test, I wouldn't have known. And I'd still be, to this day, not knowing. And then it could come to the point where I, you know, do develop symptoms and we'd find that, you know, the prostate cancer is more further developed. So I was quite lucky that it, you know, it was caught early.
What does a prostate cancer check look like? What does it actually involve? And what would you say to any of our listeners who might be a bit nervous about going to get checked?
Yeah. So the starting point is going to speak to your GP. You may be invited for a PSA test, especially if you have private health cover. That might be a more routine test. But because we don't have a screening program, men won't be invited to have the PSA. And it's not part of your routine blood test if you're having other blood tests done. So PSA stands for prostate specific antigen. What they're measuring is it's a protein produced by the prostate, and it can become elevated if there's a problem with the prostate. So that's the starting point, going to your GP to ask about the PSA test from the age of 50 or from the age of 45. If you're black or you have a family history, you can go and have that conversation with the GP. There are advantages and disadvantages to the PSA test. It's not as accurate as we'd like it to be, but the doctor will cover those advantages and disadvantages. It's your choice if you want to go ahead and have the PSA. I think an important thing to say is that men often think that a prostate check is going to be a finger test, that it's going to be a finger up the bum, and that isn't the best first test. It is the PSA blood test. The rectal examination or the finger test can be helpful for men that have got symptoms, because it's an extra test that can see if there is some prostate enlargement or anything to be felt on the prostate, but it's not the necessary first step. So if that's stopping men from going to the GP, know that you can go and talk about the blood test in the first instance. And then following that, if there are any concerns about the PSA test or about the feel of somebody's prostate, if that test is done, the next test is a scan, an MRI scan.
And finally, what's the one message that you hope our listeners take away today, whether it's for themselves or perhaps someone that's close to them? Meg, I'll come to you first.
Oh, thank you. I think if there's one thing that people take away from this conversation is to think about their risk of prostate cancer. Prostate Cancer UK have a risk checker. It's a 30-second risk checker that asks you a series of questions to see if you might be at risk of prostate cancer and then what to do about it. And it gives all of that information about testing. So that's available on the Prostate Cancer UK website, or if you just go to search prostate cancer risk checker, it will come up as the first hit if you just do a general web search.
Great, thanks, Meg. And Nick, over to you.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, put your health first, get yourself checked. You know, certainly if you're of that age or you fall under the risk categories, you know, and if you do need that information, Prostate Cancer UK, great support on there. They've got people you can talk to. They've got specialist nurses who are absolutely brilliant at what they do. And they give you a lot of help and advice. And, you know, if you're, things you're not sure of, you're struggling with, they're a great source of help. But yes, put your health first, go and get checked. It's a simple blood test, you know, and it could save your life, basically, couldn't it, really? So yeah, that's what I would say to everybody.
I think that's a very important message to end on. So thank you both for sharing your insights and your experience with us today. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Nadine.
Yeah, thank you very much.
If you would like to share your feedback on the podcast, you can email us at 21cc@atompublishing.co.uk. And if you're on social media, please use the hashtag 21cc to let us know what you think. That's all from me today. Thanks for listening.